This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Many veterans suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a type of anxiety disorder that can occur after you've seen or experienced a traumatic event. And it's the subject of our next story from the San Quentin Prison Report, KALW's collaboration with inmates from California's oldest prison.
SQPR is a media collective of prisoners and volunteers from the community working together to give voice to personal growth, social transformation, and restorative justice.
About 30% of Iraq and Afghanistan vets treated by the VA are diagnosed with PTSD. But PTSD exists everywhere. Today, we'll hear from a former Marine who survived the trauma of military warfare and a man who survived the trauma and violence that came with growing up in San Francisco's inner city. Even though they come from different backgrounds, their experiences with PTSD are similar. Both men are serving time at San Quentin State Prison. SQPR's Shaw Wallace Stepter has the story.
Ron Self is a 47-year-old inmate and former Marine. He remembers the time during his military service when a U.S. helicopter was shot down.
53 people were killed, two survivors. Even talking about that's kind of distressing. But that was my first experience. When I got to the scene, men were running out of the hole on fire. There was probably 8 or 9 heads laying around, decapitated heads laying around. And what my initial thought was, my feelings were, wow, this is just like TV.
Self spent nearly a decade in the Marines.
I was accepted into the raid company. From there, I went to recon, then force recon and special operations training group, where I functioned in the special operations community with a hostage rescue and prisoner snatch unit.
A common misconception is that PTSD is a disorder that exclusively affects soldiers. But that's just not the case.
My name is Michael Hamilton. I'm 41 years old, born and raised in San Francisco. Western Edition, Fillmore, that's what they call it on the streets. Breaks Project, low-income housing living.
Many of the men who are currently incarcerated come from urban communities like Hamilton's, where unusually high levels of violence and trauma take place on a frequent and consistent basis. In many cases, these experiences are similar to those of soldier and combat veterans.
I can recall a date in summer of 1998 when it was just like a terrible summer, almost like a war zone. 12 of my closest friends were murdered, shot down in the streets.
In that summer alone?
In that summer alone.
And Hamilton says that wasn't even the worst.
One thing that really kind of affected me was one of my best friends that I've known all my life from grade school, you know, just growing up.
Hamilton's friend was shot 5 times in the chest and 3 times in the stomach.
I was right there with him trying to put my hand over some of the holes to keep the blood from, you know, from just everywhere. It was almost like I could smell it. It was like a metal taste almost in my mouth just from witnessing that much blood. Just to see him hit that many times and that much blood and me, with no medical training, I'm trying to stop the flow of blood. I ended up putting him in my car and rushing him to the hospital, where he died probably about 2-3 hours later.
Michael Hamilton and Ron Self both describe extreme traumatic experiences that share many similarities, and as a result, they both developed PTSD.
Basically, a car pull up, automatic gunfire everywhere.
My entire team was killed on that last mission.
And the aftermath of their experiences also echo each other.
So for me, those filmings, they were, I'm past it so I can say it now, but those feelings were suicidal. I just didn't want to deal with it. It was too much for me to deal with.
I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't want to hang out. I wanted revenge. That's just a different part of it, but just the not being able to sleep. Wanting to be high, to just numb the pain and try to get the thoughts out of my mind of what happened to him.
Hamilton says the scene was etched into his memory.
Because I would have the nightmares of not only him being shot, but sometimes the roles were reversed. I would be the one being shot and he would be trying to help me, and I would never make it to the hospital.
I see that a lot, and it just plays over and over in the dream. And sometimes, which is interesting, is sometimes it's the reverse, where I'm the one that gets blown up and he lives. So, but how the dream plays out, it plays out differently sometimes after everyone's dead, at the end of the dream, they'll all be alive. But then I wake up and they're not.
It will be a while before either man can stop and face the complex issues that came with surviving these traumatic experiences.
I didn't see what other people saw in me, and how I dealt with events in my past was how I dealt with events in my past was by staying in combat. So things didn't have a chance to catch up to me because I was always essentially running from them.
Well, I never addressed it because it was normal. I thought that's how I was supposed to live. I mean, just growing up and in that environment, that's what we did. You know, I didn't have a 9-to-5. My 9-to-5 was carrying my gun and living my life, making sure I come home at night.
In Michael Hamilton's case, failing to address his issue would lead him to develop a mentality that is unfortunately very common in the urban community.
I kind of took the stance on, you know, I'd rather be the hunter instead of being the hunted. So that probably added to a lot more violence that just took place in my life. First, and you know, not trusting people and just not taking a chance. And my temper, my patience, any little thing would set me off, and I would use my gun. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Hamilton says he didn't know any other way because he didn't see any other way.
Everybody I know were doing the same thing I was, and if you weren't carrying a gun and inflicting violence, then you were a victim, and you would end up losing your life. So
it wouldn't be until both men came to prison that they began to address their trauma-related issues. For Michael Hamilton, this process would start following a string of disciplinary infractions. And this is when he finally decided that he needed to talk to someone.
It was a number of years after I was incarcerated, just going through different things, trouble, fights and stuff, you know, just going to the hole. And that's when I realized that something was actually wrong. So I decided to seek counseling first, and that was probably the start of it.
After seeking counseling, it was like a weight had finally been lifted off of his shoulders.
Well, it was just like a great big pressure release because I've never talked about it before or shared my emotions like that with anyone. So when I started talking with the counselor, it just released a lot of pressure. A lot of guilt came off.
Like Michael Hamilton, it wasn't until Ron Self came to prison, specifically San Quentin, and started to involve himself in a number of self-help groups that he began to take a look at his behavior.
Ironically, it wasn't until I was convicted of attempted murder and spent 15 years in prison, actually 17, the last two of which at this particular prison, San Quentin. There's so many programs here, you can't help but get, if you start going to them, whether you think you need them or not, at some point, something seeps in, something penetrates that exterior that you developed over the years, you know, that armor. And for me, many of the programs here did that.
And what Self learned was that he had to face his past traumas in order to move on with his life.
It's not a question of if it's going to affect you, but when it's going to affect you. And that's with any trauma in life, whether it's related to combat, prison, or growing up in the hood. If you don't face those traumas, they're always going to be there on the peripheral of your life, and they're always going to be influencing you.
This understanding would inspire Self to start his own self-help group here inside of San Quentin called Veterans Healing Veterans from the Inside Out. The primary focus of Veterans Healing Veterans was to provide former soldiers with a safe environment that would allow them to deal with the past traumas they had experienced in their lives. But after launching this program, Self discovered something he hadn't expected.
After going through this process, what I realized was that if I take the word veteran or Marine out of the curriculum and put gang member or urban environment, as what I come to find out is that they experienced the same thing.
And now, Self has expanded this program so that it is offered to anyone who suffers from trauma, especially individuals who come from urban communities, individuals like Michael Hamilton. Reporting from San Quentin State Prison, I'm Shy Wallace Stepter for SQPR.